Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Hallelujah. 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 Tomorrow, we're going to testify of what the goodness of God. So if you have a testimony, we want to hear your testimonies tomorrow. And you can open it. It's all good. So we have a special thing that the Lord told us to do. How many in here know Edgar Bailey? How many in here heard of Edgar Bailey? You know, this retreat, there's been a lot of talk about Edgar Bailey. And we love him and honor him and respect him. But some of you don't know his testimony. And so we clipped it. We narrowed it down. Wow. What? They're up to something.
Yep.
So the clip is about 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Can you hold out?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Edgar walked in such authority.
Amen.
He was an apostle of love. Now, some of you don't know what that means. Edgar had the ability to love anybody. He never sought their natural weirdities. He would go right in and love the sinner and bring him to the Lord all the time. And he's just amazing. He walked in such faith. He was faith. I mean, you know, I remember traveling with Edgar and Holly when I was young. I'd be in the back seat. I don't even think I was driving back then. And I became their driver and carrier of the supplies. What a blessing that was. Anyway, I remember one time we were traveling, I think from a service or to a service, and we were in a different, I was going to say country, but I mean
state.
And somebody called, and it was somebody whose son was had epilepsy. And Holly handed Edgar the phone, and Edgar prayed this prayer of faith, and they got healed of epilepsy. You know, it was not uncommon for supernatural manifestations and healings. You know, I used to go over and help them at their house on Fridays. I'd go and mow their grass and do whatever they needed, and the best part of it was, and the Lord told me to serve them. You know, I didn't just show up and knock on their door and say, here I am. Actually, they joked about me. You know the honeymooners? I was Norm. What's in the fridge? Edgar loved to cook. And I love to eat. But anyway, yeah. I would sit there, I'd take my break, and I would sit with Edgar, and he would share the stories of the creative miracles. And I'd say, tell me another one. And he'd share his stories, and I'd say, tell me another one. He goes, didn't I tell you that? I go, yeah, but tell me again. Tell me about how you stuck your hand in that guy's body bag that had no bones. His bones were all decayed. And tell me how the Lord told you to say, what? You know, and he would tell me. And I'm telling you, it changed my life. It opened up my eyes to the supernatural. And I am so blessed to know Edgar and Holly. I mean, it changed my life. And so yesterday I was like, I really felt like we were supposed to share his testimony so you all can benefit.
Amen.
And I thought it was going to be yesterday afternoon, but it wasn't. It's now.
Amen.
So let's listen. And let's, you know, do you know about pulling?
Yeah.
Pull.
Got dressed at 6 o'clock, was at his home, got in his Cadillac with his sons, and we headed out to Escondido. Now they were the church was up, but they were doing all the detail work. They were finishing up the roof and so on. And when we got there, we was on the side of a hill, and the Roy and his two boys, they just ran down to the church because there was, I don't know how many people there were at the time. They all had their hands on the wall of the church. Now to me, it looked to me like they were holding the wall up. And I thought to myself, why don't they get some long 2x4s and tack them in there and let that hold the wall? Why are they holding this wall up? Well, Bob, but the deal was I'd never seen anyone praying for a building. And that's what they were doing. So as I walked down the hill, I was about 50 feet from him. I could hear the pastor in his loud voice, Vern Gortner, and he's walking behind him with his hands waving in the air. And this man used to be the song leader for Amy Simple McPherson. And he's really quite a good pastor. And anyway, he's walking behind me. He said, now, Father God, watch over all these that are gathered here now. And he's, watch over them. Let them work 3 times as hard as they've ever worked. Let them not be tired and keep them from all harm. Now, the thing I didn't realize till later was I was on the outside. All of those other people were prayed up. I was not prayed up. I wasn't in their prayer group. I was standing far away watching them and listening to them. And besides, I didn't know what they were doing anyway. I'm a brand new Christian, just 9 months old. And, anyway, so they were going to go to work. Well, they found out that I had some experience in construction, so they put me on a scaffold with Roy's younger son and a sailor from the naval base at San Diego. And the ceiling was 16 feet high. And the bottom half, they'd insulate the walls. I would insulate the top half. Then they'd put their plywood up, tack it on, and hand a sheet of plywood up to us. We'd square it up, and we'd drive the nails in and nail it up. And I'd go on and insulate the next section and so on. We did that on this one whole end of the wall. Well, by the time 11:30 got here, it was time to eat. So all of us, there was 60 men there, and it was 8 women, not counting me or my wife. So when we got up to the upper room where they had lunch prepared, it was beautiful. They had cold cuts and pies and cakes and everything. So we all ate. And we only had 30 minutes, and we left and went back to work again. I'm back on the scaffold doing what I was doing. Now, in the morning, somebody came out, and they had, with a cherry pick, it's like a derrick, they picked up this big tank. It has 2 wheels on it, they can tow it behind a truck. And it's filled with tar. And they set this big tank on the roof, and they lit 4 diesel flamethrowers, or whatever they were, on this tank. And these 4 blue flame fires was cooking that tar all day long, and it was just as thin as water, and that's how they used to do in those days when they were tarring roofs. And when they were ready to tar the roof, two men had come up with, they had 2 rods with a great big bucket. They'd come up, and the other man would open up the slide in front of the and the end of the tank, and the tar would pour into the bucket, then it shut it off. Now, the tar was so hot that when it hit the air, the oxygen, it exploded into flame. Well, it didn't explode, it just caught a fire, and it was burning, flame coming off of it. So these men had to go out, they knew what they were doing. They just took and they tipped that thing, and they just threw that tar out of the bucket across the floor. And when they did, 2 other men had come up, and they laid down a roll of 30-pound tar paper, and they'd unroll it right on top of that burning tar. And the tar was so hot that it would sear into the roof, which is made of knotty pine, tongue and groove knotty pine, and then it caused the tar to become like one piece with the roof. It was pretty solid. Well, we were on the scaffold, and what I didn't realize was there was the tongue and groove knotty pine. Knotty pine's the key. A knot was kicked out of the roof, and it was right over my head. I didn't notice it, didn't even see it. But when 3 o'clock came, it was time to quit, and I pointed, just prior to 3 o'clock, I pointed down and said, fellas, don't send up any more lumber, it's time to go home. Well, I never got it all said. I said, hey, fellas, and just about that time, they enthroned a bucket of tar, and a whole glob of tar came through that hole and covered my left arm just below the elbow, down over my watch. And Bob, it was on fire. It had flame coming off of it. And I screamed and yelled and threw my hand down. Well, as you know, you can't get tar off when it's on you. You can't wipe it off. There's nothing you can do with it. But I did manage to put out the fire, and I'm in pain right now, absolute pain. And I looked up and I saw the hole, and the tar was even dripping from the thing. And as I started to yell, "Hey, you're throwing tar to us," I never got it said. They threw another bucket of tar. The tar came through, a ball of it. It's going to hit young Roy Wyman's young son, 12 years old. And I'm not a hero. I thought I'd deflect it. And I kind of threw my hand out, and that ball of fiery tar hit in the palm of my right hand, and it was burning on fire. And I quickly closed my fist to put out the fire. I thought that would help. Well, what happened was, in just a few seconds, I wanted to open my hand because it was burning so bad, and I couldn't. The tar sealed my hand shut, and I did not have the strength to open it. It just would not open, and the pain was excruciating. Well, I climbed down off the scaffold, and the whole series of things happened again. It would take too long, but I do share it when I'm out of service. But I climbed the stairs and went up to where my wife was. She took one look at me, and she she almost fainted. And I held up my arms. I says, "Char," I says, "pull off my watch. I take it off." She unbuckles. "You won't come up." I said, "Well, pull it off." And she jerked it, and my flesh stuck to the watch. It cooked right to the watch and came right up. You could see my wrist bone on the back of my hand. You could see it. The bone was exposed. The meat was gone. And just then I held my arm. I said, "Well, some of you ladies, please." There was 8 ladies there. "Would you, some of you ladies, pull the tar off?" Well, then a couple of ladies said, "This is the miracle. This is the miracle." Now, let me back up with this, because what they were saying was, "This is the miracle," is when we were all through eating, these 8 ladies told my wife, Charlotte, they said, "Charlotte, this is your first time here. Normally, we just clean this mess up and go home. But every one of us heard from the Lord, and he said, stay here and witness the miracle I'm going to do." So that's what they were saying. This must be the miracle. Well, when they went to pull the tar off my arm, my flesh was cooked right to the bone. The flesh all came off with it. And I must have grimaced and made a face, and Roy Wyman was standing there. And he held up his hands. He said, "Stop, wait. I just heard from the Lord." And he says, "The Lord said, ladies, if you'll lay hands on this brother." Now, I'd never been called brother before in my life. That was the first time. Then he yelled at the pastor, who was clear across his room, "Pastor, if you come over and pray a healing prayer, God's going to heal him." At all this time, 60 men come in from the church. They heard me screaming. They heard me in pain. They come in, dropped on their knees, and held out their hands. The ladies come after me. They got their hands. They pinned me to the wall. My hands are right down beside me. I couldn't do anything. And I was hurting bad. Well, the pastor got over there, and there I was. He just reached across the men on their knees and put his hand on my head. He says, "Father God, you said in your word, if we come together in unity, in one accord, to the one Lord, you'd hear from heaven and honor the prayer." He said, "We are." He said, "Fill in the hole of this man's arm, give him a brand new hand, leave not a scar. In Jesus' name, amen and amen." Now, before I go on, let me emphasize this. How in the world did this man know I had a hole on my arm, I needed a new hand? I didn't know it. How did he know it? Well, it was told to me later, he was speaking at the direction of the Holy Spirit. When he said amen and amen, my hand that was locked up opened up all by itself. I didn't have anything to do with it. It just did it. And when it opened up, I looked at my hand and it was a mess. Now, please hear me, son, I mean this. It was in my flesh, and my palm of my hand was all cooked up in the tar, so I kind of shook my hand, and it all fell off, and I could see the bone in the palm of my hand. It was all exposed, even the first up to the first knuckles, and there was no flesh there. I could see all the bone, and it was a terrible-looking thing. And then I realized something else, and I made a statement. I said, with my mouth, I spoke out. I said, "It's gone. It's all gone." Roy Wyman's sitting there. He's the one that started the prayer. And he said, "What's gone, brother?" I says, "The pain and the hurt, Roy, it's gone." He said, "Are you sure?" He's the guy that started the praying. I said, "Am I sure?" So I held up my left arm, and I said, "Ladies, pull that tar off." So when they took the tar off my left arm, I had a hole 4 inches long and about 1.5 inches wide. You could see my arm bone. It was exposed. And the ladies and everybody there seen it. Well, then some ladies came over and looked at my hand, And they took a hold of my hand, looked at it, and said, "Oh, brother, you're hurt bad. You've got to go to the burn center, and they'll take care of you down there." Now, here's the other part of these miracles. When they said that, out of my mouth came, "No way, I'm healed." I never saw a healing in my life. I didn't know what a healing was. I had no idea. How can I say I'm healed when my flesh is gone off my hand and the flesh is gone off my arm? My flesh is laying on the floor and stuck to the back of my watch. There's no way. But it was the Holy Ghost that was doing that, because they all acknowledged, "Oh, yeah, oh, absolutely." They were caught dumbfounded. Well, that lasted about 30 seconds. Then the pain came back. Whew. It was like a blowtorch held at my hand and on my arm. It was worse than the original burn. I screamed and yelled, and somehow my lip, I got it between my teeth and bit it, and blood spewed out all over me. I was covered. I was a mess. And my wife was having a fit looking at me. She couldn't believe what she was seeing. And as I said all this, and I was in this pain, some lady, another lady, I think it was Mrs. Fowle and Mrs. House, they both said, "Oh my God, look at his hand. Look at his arm." And I wear a red rose on my collar all the time because of this now. And I pointed, if you looked at red, a red welt appeared in the heel of my right hand and at the top part of the burn of my arm. And it just seemed to sit there for a second. Everybody seen it. 68 people witnessed this. And all of a sudden it just went, shoo, it just covered my hand and went down over my arm. And right in front of their eyes, God created a brand new hand and an arm in 1 second, less than a second. And I was shaking like a leaf. My body was shaking. My hands were shaking. Now, and what I'm about to share with you happened two or three times. The entire church building began to vibrate and shake. Everybody thought we had an earthquake. But they checked it out, and later they found there was no earthquake. Now, when I shared this story in 700 Club, the entire 700 Club building shook, and Ben Kinchlow witnessed it, and Bill Leary witnessed it, and over 60... counselors. They were all upstairs on the second floor, were answering phones when they thought there was an earthquake, and they come down, and Ben Kinchlow looked at Bill and he says, "Bill Leary, what you doing down here? You're supposed to be on the phones." He said, "Did you feel it? There's an earthquake." Ben Kinchlow, out of his mouth, says, "That weren't no earthquake, Bill. That was just Ed Bailey sharing his miracle." Now, Bob, this is absolute fact. This is heavy duty stuff, and it's ever since that accident, wherever I go, my right hand gets as red as almost like fire, like a red rose. Just the palm of it. When it does, I stop talking, start praying. And I have recorded miracles behind miracles behind.
That's kind of a hard act to follow. You know, we didn't really have a plan for tonight, so we're just trying to kind of follow the Holy Spirit. But I do feel like there's an anointing here. This has happened to me once before since Edgar passed away, where my hand started to feel something strange. And I actually, there was a brother, he actually reminds me a lot of Edgar. And I felt like I was supposed to tell him that something was being released into him of that anointing. And I'm kind of feeling like God wants to release miracles. Not just the doing, I want to say this right. Some of you have sought God for the working of miracles in your life. And I feel like there's an anointing here that you can receive. I feel like God wants to release it. And there's faith in this room. So I'm just going to say this. If you're a person that you've wanted to work in miracles and you've wanted to receive an anointing for it, and especially some of you that are, you know, you are, there's evangelists in here, there's soul winners in here. But if you've already talked to the Lord about this issue, I'm going to have you put your right hand in the air. And Father, this is not something from me. This is something from you. We release in the name of Jesus the gift of working in miracles. We release it now. Father, I believe it's here for the taking. I believe it's here in the room, just like sometimes you release healings and people receive. So right now we release it. Lord, I'm going to ask you to help me release it. Lori, carry some things. We are extending our hand. We're saying in the name of Jesus, it's not our hand. It is the hand of the Lord. He's releasing something now. And I actually believe that sometimes with this, there's also a gift of faith that sometimes comes into operation. And when a gift of faith hits you, faith in the word works, but this is a gift that comes on you, and it's no longer, I believe, it's I know. So great. and nobody can talk you out of it. You know it's done, and you know it for a fact. Now, I have operated in that, but it was one of Edgar's primary giftings. And when it would come upon him, he literally, it seemed like he became another man. And it would happen in an instant, and miracles were released. So we released the gift of faith, and we know that the gifts are already here, but I believe there's an anointing tonight for you to receive, because some of you are going to leave here, and I'm going to tell you something. The days we're in, we're going to need miracles in the street. We're going to need miracles in the grocery store. We're going to need faith. And I'm telling you, there'll be, you'll just know. I release a Holy Ghost boldness. There's a Holy Ghost boldness. And some of us that have never been bold by nature are going to have a sudden boldness that comes out of nowhere. I've had it happen to me. I was probably the shyest person known to man. Edgar and I were, we had been in a hospital room praying for a lady. We left to go down the hall, and there was a door open about 8 inches, and a spirit of boldness came upon me. I popped the door open and said, "Anybody in here need prayer?" And if you know me, that is just not my M.O. And this lady said, she was this older lady, and she lay there and was sitting there with a Bible. What are the odds? She said, "Oh, I was asking the Lord to send somebody to pray with me." And I had such a boldness, I knew she was healed. I knew she was healed. Did you have something? I'm getting it. Yes. Some of you that you actually have gifts already in you, and they do operate and you know it, but I see that there's been some shackles from the enemy. And some of those shackles have been caused by words that people said, or even words you said. And so right now I break those words and I break those shackles and I say, "Go forth in the name of Jesus. Go forth in the name of Jesus." When you walk out of here, you're not just walking out of here, you're walking out of here with the goods. You're walking out of here with the goods. And some of you that never witnessed in your life will witness with boldness, strength, and the word of the Lord. Some of you that have never operated in word of knowledge are going to operate on the street. You're going to just be looking at somebody and just going to be like, "Oh man, that person has a stomach problem." And it's not hard. You don't have to be weird. In fact, don't be when you're on the street, because you'll scare them. You just quietly walk up and say, "Excuse me, can I pray with you?" Or you might say, "You know, do you have something wrong with your stomach?" People want prayer. People, believe it or not, people want prayer. They do. They want prayer. And when you approach them just gently, just be gentle, people want to know the truth. And in this day, I'm telling you, you're going to see things you've never seen in your life. There's going to be things happen in the earth, and there will, because there will be some scary stuff. Okay? We're not done with some of the scary stuff, but here's the good news. Because of it, people who never thought they wanted God are going to be knocking on your door. "Hey, I heard you knew about God. What do I do? How do I know Him? What do I do? Help me." And see, we're just two people. We can't do it, but you can do it. God wants a horde of people, thousands, millions. He wants His kids operating in the stuff. And listen, you don't have a lot of time, but you're going to get good at it. Some of you are going to get good at it real quick. Real good at it real quick. I release that anointing. I release the anointing of boldness. I release the anointing of saying it like it is. Oh. It's a holy thing. It's a holy thing, and we're never ever to take the credit for it. And when God starts using you, it's okay to share and be excited. But you know, like we reminded you the other day, the old man who did all the miracles, and he would always say, "Who did it?" "Jesus did it." And we always have to give. You know, Edgar had a thing he said all day long. He'd quietly just sitting there, might be watching a game or something. He'd say, "Oh, Lord, we give you all the glory, praise, and honor." All the time. "Oh, Lord, we give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor." Constantly said it. See, because it was always in his heart. Always in his heart. So no matter how great God uses you, always give all the glory and praise to Jesus Christ. He's doing a thing. Some people's minds are being changed. You're being changed. You're being changed from a naysayer to a yaysayer. You're going to start saying, "I am the one God will pick. I am the one God will use. I used to think I wasn't the one," but you're going to start to believe and see it. Some of you are going to dream about it at night. Some of you are going to dream every night for a while. I see repetitive dreams, but they're dreams of you being used in miracles. That's how you get used in miracles, as you see it and 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 you see it until see, a lot of us believe in healing and we believe God has healed, but what we have to believe is that God is using me to do it now. I want you to believe God is using you to do it now. Because when you really get at home with that, then you're free to be used of God without limitation. I see God working in minds. I see actually like a, you know how when an old-fashioned chalkboard would get erased? There's some programming, he's deprogramming. Some of you were taught, educated on belief, and God said, no more. I saw him pulling some strings out, you know, like strings of wrong thinking. And I saw him putting in like, into your brain, into your mind, a new idea. Why wouldn't God use me? A new idea. Why wouldn't God use my hands? A new idea. Why wouldn't God use my eyes when I look at somebody and they know the truth, or I look at somebody and they're healed? Why wouldn't God use my lips to speak his word? Why wouldn't he? You're going to start to think that way. And it's going to become normal to you. God is looking for the supernatural church. Don't get scared by the word supernatural. It just means it's a higher realm. That's all it means. It's a miraculous realm. It's the realm of God. The realm of God is your real home. Where'd she go? Where'd she go? She disappeared. Oh, she's ministering. The realm of heaven is your home. And as long as you see earth as your home, you'll have trouble. But when heaven becomes your home and you begin to think that way, you get to operate in that realm and you get to release the things from that realm. That's supposed to be normal. You're supposed to be walking around in heaven listening and speaking, listening and speaking, listening and speaking. See, because if God says something and you say it, it is him saying it through you. And when he says it and you just faithfully say it, it is the same as if he said, let there be light. If this is how I learned. This is how I learned word of knowledge. God would give me a little phrase or a little sentence or a little something to do. And I was just as dumb as a post when it came to knowing the word, or I didn't know about faith. But I knew one thing. If God says it, it's so. That I knew. And he'd give me something to say and I'd just say it. And I'd see miracles. See them. Over and over and over. And I learned, if he tells me to say something, just say it. Amen. And I'm releasing that to you. That's called, actually, it's word of knowledge, which is often coupled with word of wisdom. Now, it's not the same, believe it or not, as gift of healing. The word of knowledge heals because words of knowledge are vessels of power. A word of knowledge is a vessel of power. Catherine Kuhlman point and say, the lady in the back row, way up in the balcony, is being healed of a deaf ear. She'd point her bony finger and say it. She was only repeating what God had said, but by doing it, see, if she didn't speak it, the person would have been healed. Because God requires a voice in the earth. And so God would speak it, she would repeat it, but really, in fact, the power of God was traveling through those words. Edgar was sitting in front of this lady, a little to the right, and he heard her ear pop. He heard it pop. You see? There's power in the word, but I'll tell you, when God says it, it's all over.
Amen.
And so God is releasing. He wants us to be normal. Normal. The gifts should be normal. The fruits should be normal. And the gifts, they're not to draw attention to us, but what they do is they cause people to say, whoever your God is, I want him. I want your God. Because, you know, the Muslims, I'll tell you how to get a Muslim saved. Get him healed.
Yeah.
I have a friend that goes to Muslim countries. And he's been a crusade evangelist for decades. He's T.L. Osborne's nephew, and he's a good friend of mine. He and his wife go, and they have miracles. Just miracles. And they say stuff like this. If our God does not heal you, we're liars, and you can stone us. That's what they say. If our Jesus does not heal you tonight, then we're liars and you can stone us, you can kill us. That's what they say. And while they stand there, God starts healing people. Boom, 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 boom. You never saw so many salvations. I'm talking about major, significant miracles. You want to see some Muslims come into the kingdom? Start moving in the Spirit. Start walking in the Spirit. Begin to learn. Listen, learn. Sit at the feet of the Holy Spirit. I was sharing with my brother today. We say this all the time, but I don't know if people really hear us. We are not special. We are not specially gifted. You, every single one of you can do everything we do. You just have to learn how. There is a method. But if you learn how, it will apply to everything that you ever do. Whether you are singing, preaching, praying, healing the sick, no matter what you are doing, if you learn how to do it in the flow, then it is no longer I, but Christ who lives in me, Christ who works through me, and He can do anything He wants because you've learned how to yield yourself to the Spirit of God. That's the walk of the Spirit. And Jesus Christ desires for all of us. It should be rampant in the body, and you don't have to be weird. In fact, please, don't be. It's okay to be weird in church. That's all right. You know, we won't tell. You know, David danced till his robe fell off. And his religious wife didn't like it. And God got mad at her. And so it's okay in church, but when you're on the street, just hear what he's saying and do it. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. I'm going to tell you something. I started this stuff in my 20s. That's 40 years ago. And not one time in all those years has God ever embarrassed me. Not once has He ever sent me to somebody and I said something, and some of my stuff has been out there, you know, because it won't make sense to you. He'll give you a word for somebody, you'll think, what does that mean? You may not know, but they do. You may not understand it, but they do. God is releasing some things. Lori was by the time Edgar was getting ready to go home, it was a holy thing. We already knew. He knew. And he wasn't sick. He didn't die because he was sick. And he didn't die because he was old. All of his kids came over to the house one day. He said, "Now I love y'all, but I won't see you again." He said, "I'm going home in a few weeks." I said, "Edgar, how do you know?" He said, "When you get to be my age, you just know." And it wasn't a bad thing. It was the most wonderful time. As we sat, you know, we would take turns. We would sit by him, take care of him and stuff. As he was transitioning, our home, it's like our whole house got moved to heaven. And Edgar's laying there and he said, "Don't you see the door of heaven?" I'm thinking, that's a television set. He's like, "No, don't you see the doors?" I'd go in there to you know, take care of him, minister to him. He'd say, "Who's that behind you?" I'd say, "There's no one behind me." "Oh, yeah, there is." He was transitioning. And Steph, are you still here? When you said this morning, this so ministered to me, when you said that passing away or dying is you breathe out here and then you breathe into heaven. Well, see, Edgar died about 4:30 in the morning or so, and I was asleep, but you know, we hadn't slept in a lot of days because we were taking care of him. And I'm laying in bed, you know, like in the next room, but I've got the doors open because I want to hear him. And about 4:30 in the morning, I heard this, "Whoo!" And he was gone. And I never really, I was always like, that was it. But when you said that, I was like, he breathed out and his next breath in was in heaven. That really touched my heart. But I feel like God is saying, you know, there's a huge level of faith in this room. And I'll tell you the truth, I feel like God wants you to receive freely. Freely. Because God wants to go with you. You know, years ago, I prayed with some ladies a lot. I prayed with them a lot. And this lady was very, very accurate. Now, she didn't know I'd already seen this. But she said, and this is for all of us. This isn't just about me. This is for the body of Christ, for all of us. She said, "I see a picture of you, and God is wearing you like a coat." Now, God had already shown me. Now, think about it. God is wearing you like a coat. You get it? So He can go and minister while wearing His coat. Now, see, I'd already seen that picture, but I didn't tell her that. See, she was just confirming how we are to operate. We're to operate in a new place, and I'm telling you, God, as I'm seeing people being lifted up to new levels. And don't try to reason this out. If you're intellectual, Sometimes you just have to put your intellect on hold. Do the stuff first, and it'll start to make sense later. You know? There are some things. I see Peter. I see a picture of Peter right now in the book of Acts. Remember, Peter, God, on purpose, put it in the word that Peter denied Christ. He put that in there. Think about being the disciple that denied him. And yet, who was the one? Who was the guy that when he would walk to the temple, people would rush to get in his shadow? Peter. God did that on purpose. He wants you to know. He used the kind of worst, you know, right? The biggest screw up. And I'm telling you, I'm actually sensing, probably because of the time we're in the Spirit. Think about what today is. But hallelujah. We're shifting, and I'll bet you, that all over the world there's congregations and meetings where some little nobody like me is just saying the same kind of thing all over the world. That this is a new day. This is a new season. You will carry a new anointing. You will carry the power. You will carry the glory. And you're going to stop worrying about it. You're going to stop having fear about it. You're going to stop worrying what people think about it.
Amen.
And you're just going to carry it.
Yeah.
God is releasing some of you from some shackles of, oh, I just don't think I should do that. Some of you used to be Michaels or Michal, which was David's wife's name. She was a stinker. And she didn't like that David danced before the Lord that way. And the Lord, you know, he dealt with her. But David had favor. Some of you used to be like her. But I saw you jump the fence and you became David, who would dance before the Lord without apology. I saw a couple of people jump the fence. God's raising up a team. I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about the global remnant of the body of Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes the best form of prayer, the most powerful form of prayer, we pray lots. I'm talking about hours and hours. We pray a lot. We pray a lot in tongues and we believe in it. But you know what? For me, the most powerful form of prayer is when I don't say anything and I just open my spirit and receive and God starts pouring in. God is pouring something out right now. Remember when Lori said, do you know how to pull? You may not. But God wants you to learn how to open to Him and allow Him to pour into you. You know, people said, are you tired? Well, no. I was a little tired, I think, this morning or the other morning. I laid in bed and I just opened myself and said, Lord, would you refresh me? And whoosh, took about a minute. I was refreshed and filled up and I was like, yahoo, let's go another week. Because when you live this way, you don't do it by the flesh anymore. When you live this way, you always have what you need. I'm not going to say you don't have trouble in the earth. I'm just going to tell you, you just have a different way of dealing with it. Tom and I were talking about it earlier. I've never really heard anybody else talk about this. I used to describe it as, it's like you're walking 20 feet above the earth realm. You know, it's like you're above the problems. You see them. You're aware of them, but it can't touch you. You're aware. But because you're walking with Him in a different place, you know what to do. Some of you are going to learn how to listen. Ooh, this is good. Listen, God will talk 24/7 to those who will learn how to listen. He doesn't just give these one-sentence prophecies. He'll talk for hours. He loves to talk. But He's looking for the hungry and the thirsty. Will you know how right away? No. It takes a little while to learn. But keep pressing. Keep seeking, asking, knocking, keep pressing. Because, you know, when God started to talk to me, I had this lake I would walk around. I'd walk around two times. It took about 40 minutes. And I'd do it every night after work. And He would talk for the entire time. He would talk. And teach me. What do you think I learned all this stuff? I didn't figure it out. This kind of stuff, you don't get it in your intellect. God is going to teach some of you how to listen. One day I got in the car. And I had an hour drive home from work. And I would always say, God, would you like me to pray? Do you want me to pray in the Spirit? Or do you want me to worship you? Or do you want me to listen to a message? or do you want me to just listen to you talk? And he said, I want you to just listen to me talk. And I was like, yay. And I said, what's that about? He said, did you know? He said this to me. Did you know that listening is a form of worship? And I said, tilt? Because he said, when you listen to me, you are saying that what I have to say is more important than what you have to say. You're honoring him when you listen. Some of you talk in prayer so much that you don't listen. You talk and talk and talk, and then you hang up the phone. I need this, I want that, blah, 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 blah. Goodbye. Do you ever have somebody talk to you on the phone like that? And they never say, how's your day? Do you have time for me to blather on for 45 minutes? They just start in. Yeah. A friend like that, she called and she just started. I mean, I don't think she took a breath for 45 minutes. I'm like, well, might as well do my nails. You know, hallelujah. It's not, I wasn't trying to disrespect her. I'm just telling you. And then at the end, she goes, well, I got to go. It's been great talking to you. Bye. Blank. I don't know if I ever said a sentence except hello. I know, but God was showing me how he feels sometimes. You know, that we call him and we talk forever and blather on about nothing. And here the king of the universe, who knows absolutely everything, is ready to impart the wisdom and the knowledge of the ages, and we aren't prepared to listen. So if you're not used to hearing from God, that's okay. The first number one way to hear from is your scriptures. Number one way is through the Word of God. But get yourself a little journal to write in. Sit in his presence and either pray or listen. Just hang out with him. Just still your soul, enter into rest, and be quiet in your inner man. And you may get an impression, a picture, a little vision in your mind's eye. You may not, that's okay. But when you do, you say, what if I'm not sure it's God, that's okay. You write it down and you date it, that's all you do. Don't pick it apart, don't question, just write it down and date it. And every time you sit with him, if he gives you a little something, you write it down and you date it. And in 6 months to a year, you'll read that thing and you'll say, wow. Because what your life will show, such a reflection of the things he has said. And when you do this, you'll say, that was God. That was him. See, you do hear the voice of God. You just don't believe it's him. I'm going to say it again. You do hear. What did Jesus say? My sheep know my voice. The voice of a stranger they will not follow. And so what happens is, holy, God. God is speaking to your spirit man, and a lot of times you do hear it, but you say, well, I don't really think that was God because, and then your logic kicks in, which is your silly intellect, which is not as smart as God. And you talk yourself out of it. Or you say, well, I think that might have been the devil. Was that the devil? Was that me? Was that the devil? But God wants to train you in accuracy. He wants to train you in accuracy. And you know what? You don't learn in a day. It's a lifetime journey of ever growing, ever hearing better, ever hearing more and more accurately. And you learn. And how do you learn? We have an old joke in our ministry. How do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice, practice, practice. Right? Same way when you're operating in the gifts. You practice. You don't have to scare anybody. Just move real slow and say, you know, I was praying and I had a little picture of you and I saw that you were having a problem with your son or whatever the deal is. Or I was praying and I had a picture of you and I saw you. You have a happy face when I see you, but I saw you grieved and weeping. And sometimes when you say it, the person just bursts into tears because they know God is on the scene. See, the reason God gives you the gifts is for the sake of the people. It's not so we can be used. It's for the sake of his beloved, his kids. It's for the sake of the lost so they can say, wow, your God is really God. Your God is God. See, people will respond to signs and wonders and miracles more than any other thing. And what I believe God wants is a people who are trained, who are willing to just go in and just be used of God to bring the lost in, but not in the traditional ways. You don't have to have the four spiritual laws or whatever that Romans Road thing is. That's not a bad thing, but God will sometimes give you a secret that no one knew. Listen, you know how we talk about the walk of the Spirit? It applies to every calling of every kind. So the walk of the Spirit makes pastors better pastors, evangelists better evangelists, prophetic people better prophetic people, singers better singers, because it's the flow of the Spirit doing it. So it's for everyone. So we have evangelists that listen to the Lord, and He tells them where to go, what to look for, and what to say. And they come back every time with 100% success rate because God has already seen that person. God is ready to give you a word for somebody. In fact, some of you have been too scared, and it's okay. Don't condemn yourself. It's just training. It's okay. You know, when you're first learning, it's a little spooky. What if I'm wrong? You know, what if I look like an idiot? What if they think I'm stupid? What if I go, you know, what if I mess up? Just go real gentle. Just real gentle. Excuse me, I had a sense. Just real gentle. And then here's what happens. Watch closely their response. Because what happens is they will let you know either by they burst into tears or say, oh my God, how did you know that? No one knows that. And you just watch and monitor. And I, to this day, I've been doing this for many, many decades. I'm telling you, I've been doing it a long time. But I still monitor my accuracy. And if I felt like I'm not being accurate, I step back because I don't want to deliver inaccurate words, okay? If you should make a mistake, it's okay. God won't fall off the throne. It's just training, okay? Here's the mistake most of us make. We chicken out and we don't do it. I feel like I'm supposed to tell a story. A powerful woman of God, she was saved, but she was still working in a gray area. It wasn't really bad, but it was a gray area. And she had come out of drugs, a drug addiction. She was a drug dealer, and she had gotten free from the drugs, but in buying drugs, she actually worked with someone that was in the syndicate, okay, in Las Vegas. And the story is she was at work, she was working in a casino. And this man came in that she had bought drugs from and sold for him. And the Lord said, tell him what I've done in your life. She said, I can't. And the Lord said her name and said, tell him what I've done in your life. And she said, I can't. And he said a third time, he said her name. And he said, tell him what I've done in your life. And she said, oh Lord, I'm sorry, I can't. And she ran in the bathroom. She was afraid. She was afraid of the man. That night, the man was shot in the back of the head. Now, when I heard that story, I was so grieved because I'm such a chicken. I used to be, not anymore. Such a chicken. Afraid to tell anybody stuff. I used to be very afraid. When I heard that, I said, oh God, do whatever it takes to change me so that I'm bold enough to do what you say to do. I don't want to be afraid anymore. Now, here's the story I wanted to get to. After I told him that, I used to live in Naperville, and Naperville used to have an old-fashioned corner drugstore with an old-fashioned soda fountain that had a big mirror on the wall. It went all the way down the wall. Now, I've got some tracts in my pocket, in my vest pocket, and there's a man watching me, and he just kept watching me, but it wasn't weird. It wasn't like, you know, a creepy kind of way. He just was watching me. And I knew all I had to do when he walked by. I knew he was going to leave. He's getting ready to leave. I knew all I had to do was take the tract and say, this is for you. That's all I had to do. This is for you. That's all I had to do. The man kept watching me. He finally got up. He took his check. And he walked past me. And he got to where I was. And he slowed down as if to wait. And I couldn't do it. I froze. And I couldn't do it. All I had to do was say, this is for you. He paused as though he was waiting. And when I couldn't do it, he moved on. He went out the door. And suddenly it's like, I'm like, ah! And I got the guts and I ran out. And that man was nowhere. He was gone. And he couldn't have gone anywhere that fast. And I cried and cried and cried and cried. because I felt so terrible. And I sat and I got back to my driveway and I wept and wept and wept. And God said this to me. He said, you asked me to teach you a lesson and I've taught it to you. That was an angel. And I remembered that the man, I would see him in the mirror, and his eyes, you couldn't tell. He was kind of dressed grubby, like a flannel shirt, kind of a grubby flannel shirt. And his eyes, you could not tell the age. Sometimes angels look ageless. He had some wrinkles, you know, because he probably chose to wear a certain type of suit, you know, or suit, a pretend suit. But his eyes, I remember thinking back, that had to be an angel. He seemed ageless, and God set me up to teach me. Sometimes when you make a mistake, I don't care if you've made it 10 times, 20 times, just go, you know what, it was training, I'm going to do better next time. It was training, I'm going to do better next time. God is setting us up to go out into the world and do things we've never done before, but it won't be hard. Some of you are going to carry the fire of God. I don't know if you heard it because it was hard over the din. We had some din. But I heard God say, fire in the belly. I heard him say, as these brothers were prophesying on the instruments, I heard him say, fire in the belly. He was releasing. Remember the old movies, fire in the hole? You know. But I saw Jesus releasing fire into bellies. And you know, the fire of God is sent because you're to carry it to people. Because people need some fire. People need some glory. They need some presence. They need some changing. They need some truth. God is raising you up. He's raising up. Listen, the glory of the latter rain will be greater than the glory of the former. And I actually am just going to say it. We're there. We need to get there. We're there. We need to get in it. We need to be. You know, the disciples weren't special. People act like, whoa, the Holy Ghost. They were fishermen. Tax collectors. They were just like us. The Pharisees saw that they were ignorant and unlearned men. See, if you knew Edgar, he was proud of that scripture because he felt like he was ignorant and unlearned. And he didn't say things always the right way. But I'll tell you what, if he laid his hand on you, you went flying. He'd knock you silly. And see, God's trying to raise up a people that have the guts to believe that we have the same thing they had. We can do the same things they did when they went out. Listen, revival followed. If you look closer, read the book of Acts. Read it close. And you'll see that there were some places where one of the disciples would go, a miracle would happen, and it would say the nearby towns heard about it and came. That's revival. One sign or wonder, one miracle, and suddenly people hear about it and boom, you're in. God's trying to raise up a people that have the guts to say, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Say it, I'm one of them. I'm going to be used of God. God will direct me. And He'll give me the courage. He'll give me the words. He'll show me what to do. And He'll help me learn how to do it. He'll train me. No matter how long it takes. He won't condemn me. He's going to train me. And I'm going to be used to help people. I'm going to be used to win the lost. I'm going to be used to raise the dead. I'm going to be used to heal blind eyes. I'm going to be used to help people. I'm willing, Lord. Do you know how I learned how to hear the voice of God? And I know some of you do. Some of y'all have heard this story. I said to God, I was working, remember Spiegel? It's gone now. I used to work at their corporate headquarters. And I was sitting at my desk. And I said, God, I have to hear your voice. And I have to know that it's you. And I have to know that it's accurate. And I said these words, train me to hear your voice. God took 2 years of my life and He trained me, and this is how He trained me. And I want you to do this. I want you to do this. This is your homework assignment. And when you come back next year, I want you to tell us the story. Every day I would go down to the car and I'd get in the car and I would say, where do you want to go? It's my lunch hour. If I got an hour, use me. Now, I really didn't think God was talking to me. I would try to talk myself out of it, but here's what God did. Now, He would never say, now go to the restaurant, thus and so on the corner. He would never do that. He'd say, back out your car. And I would think, this isn't God. He'd say, go to the stop sign. I think this isn't God. He'd say, turn right. This isn't. I'm like, yeah, I'll play along. Didn't believe it was God. He'd left, right, stop, go, and we'd land someplace. And that whole time I'm thinking, this isn't God, but okay, I'll go along. But here's what I learned in 2 years. Every time I obeyed what he said, there would be a divine connection and a God moment and some sort of either miracle or someone's life would get changed or there'd be something. And he would also, this is so interesting, if I chickened out and I didn't do it, he would find a way to show me what would have happened if I had. Now, he never condemned me. It's called training. I said, train me. Well, you can't train without some mistakes. So just, you know, get over that whole thing. Get over yourself. Don't worry if you make a mistake. You're probably going to. So what? God would rather have you trained than chicken out in the beginning. So this went on for a couple of years. And one day he right and lefted me over to Oak Brook, which is a pretty snazzy. There's a regular end of Oak Brook and there's a really snazzy end. Okay, it's a shopping mall. And so at the snazzy end, there's a Neiman Marcus. I'd walked through there a couple of times and a sweater's $470. And so when he said, park here, I thought, yeah, right, this is God. You know, I'm thinking, there's no restaurant. What's your point? I go in, he says, go down the escalator. I'm thinking, I'll play along, but this couldn't be God. I go down the escalator, and the Lord said, go in the restaurant. I said, there's no restaurant here. And in this tone of voice, God said, ask the lady at the candy counter. That tone of voice. So I walked up to the candy counter. He said, yeah, I'll play along. Excuse me, is there a restaurant here? Absolutely sure there is. And she said, oh, yeah, go right around that corner. Well, okay, maybe it's God. Now, I had a Bible in my hand, and my plan was I'll go in, I'll order lunch, and while they're making my lunch, I'll read my Bible. But the waitress came and saw my Bible and said, oh, a Bible, do you know God? I began to teach her about the Lord. She was like a sponge. She'd been crying out to God. Here's who God will send you to, depending on your gifting and your calling. But God will send you to people who've already been asking. They've been asking for help. You know why we prophesy the way we do? Because you've been pulling. You know why an accurate word comes? Because you've been at home going, oh God, I need to know this. I need to understand that. Why did this happen? And God will speak and say, God answered me. Yeah, because you placed a draw. It's not because of us. It's because God is talking to you. And that was the day I said, this is God. And it became easier then because I knew God was really talking to me and I wasn't nuts. And there was some accuracy. And God began to heal the sick by word of knowledge. And I'm telling you this because you're going to do this. And it's not hard. It's just as easy as pie. I went to a church that had about 500 or 600 people. They were televised. And so you didn't get to pick where you sat. The ushers would always try to seat you, you know, just in the way they wanted. Well, so because it was so many people, a lot of times they'd seat you by someone you didn't know. And I'd go in and I'd sit down next to whoever it was. And the Lord would say, diabetes. And I'd say, excuse me. Real quiet, real quiet. Excuse me, are you dealing with diabetes? Yes, I am. Can I pray for you? Of course. And they would get healed, not because I was walking in faith yet, because I didn't learn that yet. I learned that now, but not back then. If God gives you a word for somebody, it contains healing power. And the very fact of it delivers the power that they need. And they receive faith, because how would you even know? So the minute you bring it up, they say, God brought this up. And he doesn't bring stuff up unless he's fixing it. You see? So don't be afraid. Just move gently. Just go gently with it. And you will start to see miracles everywhere you go. Now, you're all going to move in different gifts. Some of you will have, we all can move in all the gifts. But according to your calling, you might have a stronger forte, right, in one or the other. Evangelists tend to have strong miracles, right, because they're pulling the lost in, right? So don't worry if you tend to be like stronger in one gift. That has to do with who you are in the earth. I feel like God's doing a thing.
You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.